former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're up and at 'em on a Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM alongside Michael Lombardi out at his office on the East Coast. Stormy Bonantoni with you live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. So much to cover over the next couple of hours. But Michael, you already know where we're going to get things going today. The victory lap continues for the Vegas Golden Knights and this score right here.
When the point guard has to shoot, the point guard's going to hog the ball. So feel free. It was a tough one. I mean, I watched the whole game, Stormy. When Florida made it 3-2, I'm thinking, uh-oh, trouble. But Aiden Hill was sensational in net. So take your victory lap. You deserve it. Just one more to go, though. You got to get in your Michael Malone mindset of just one more game at a time, right?
Yeah, we haven't done a dang thing yet, except maybe the words were a little more colorful from Michael Malone. But yes, one game away, the Golden Knights will have the opportunity at home Tuesday to potentially close this thing out and hoist the first Stanley Cup in franchise history, a long, lengthy history for the Vegas Golden Knights. All of 6 years they've been in existence, a 3-2 final, but it's never easy, like you said. And that was the thing that was really frustrating for me watching this game yesterday, is they go up 3-0 in the second period. You're feeling really confident. And then here we go again. They score late in the second period, early in the third. You feel like, okay, maybe things are going to end up the way that they did in game three with the late Florida goal that equalized. They ended up winning that one in overtime. But this time, the rally fell short. Two early goals from Chandler Stephenson. Mark Stone had two assists. William Karlsson scored for the first time this series. And Jonathan Marchessault, Michael, who we talked about before the series as a potential Conn Smythe winner, now a $5 favorite in the market. He's on a 9-game point streak now as well.
Did you get, you got some action on that, didn't you? I know.
Yes.
Will Hill had some. You got it later than Will Hill, though, right?
Will was talking to some people smarter than me, apparently, earlier on in the playoffs, because I got him at 7-1. Will has a 40-1 Jonathan Marchessault ticket.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see. You know, although Hill, the goalkeeper last night, I thought in the final 10 minutes of that game was sensational.
Yeah.
You know, and especially with the energy in that crowd, it was pretty impressive. And you know, look, I think to me that's what makes a great player, when they play great at the most important time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of guys can play good when it doesn't really matter. But when the game is on the line, great players rise.
He's still 10-1 in the market, but he's been tremendous. And for somebody who, we were kind of talking about it briefly before we came on air today, that the Golden Knights have used 5 goaltenders this season. He's their fourth string netminder. He didn't play the opening series because Laurent Brossoit was the starter in the playoffs. He comes in midway through the Edmonton series and has just played tremendous. And he has like this weird calmness, I feel like he exudes. Even last night when one of the goals is deflected in past the net, he's just shaking his head laughing like, what are you going to do? And then leans back on the net. He's just got this different type of a presence about him. First goaltender, mind you, in NHL history to win 10 wins in a single postseason after not playing in his team's opening round. On the other side in net, Sergei Bobrovsky, he stopped 28 of the 31 shots on goal he faced. Only really faltered on plays that his D kind of left him out to dry. Matthew Tkachuk, you could tell he was laboring a bit, not 100%. Did still, even though he only played 4 shifts in the third period, Michael, still had that one shot at the end that looked like it might be able to equalize. But Aiden Hill with the left pad save was just tremendous. This series, I know for a lot of people on the outside looking in, because it's up 3-1 now for Vegas, hasn't been particularly fun. But I think the last 2 games out there in Florida were really, really intriguing and have made this series more fun than I anticipated it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Panthers tie it up with, 2 minutes to go? I mean, this could technically be over right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that last 2 minutes, the Knights could be having the Lord Stanley in their possession. And yet, you know, they make that comeback and they win in overtime. The Panthers do. And then last night, you know, Chandler Stephenson, I mean, I was barely in my seat when the Knights came out and took the lead. So, you know, look, I think it's been entertaining. And I don't know, you know, one of the things I think it makes it hard is because basketball's 3-1, hockey's 3-1. We're kind of at that point now. Uh-oh. Does this mean we have to start watching baseball now? Not that there's anything wrong with baseball, right? I think that's more of it. You know, are we going to have to start watching baseball? Uh-oh.
We're going to get deep in the weeds of the NFL. That's what we're going to do here. Which, by the way, we do have a couple great guests as we do our NFL conversation later on today in about 30 or so minutes. Former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano is going to be on the program in hour two at 11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific. Ben Lieber spent about a decade in the NFL as a linebacker, now doing great things with the Vikings radio network. We'll get him on the horn to talk all things Dalvin Cook and the expectations for a Vikings team that won so many close games last year. Will they regress this season? But still, more to come with the NHL. I want to finish this out a little bit because I'm curious your thoughts on this series shifting back home now to Vegas on Tuesday. And it's one of those spots where the Golden Knights, well, you thought for a moment maybe the momentum could be taken away, is immediately back on their side with what they were able to do to steal one in Sunrise, Florida. The Stanley Cup is going to be at T-Mobile Arena on Tuesday. Yeah. Do you think they end up lifting it at the end of that game?
Well, I think this, you know, these are the hardest games. They're not going to be, this game's not going to be hard for the Florida Panthers or the Miami Heat because they have nothing to lose. They have all the pressure has been taken off them. Everyone expects them to lose. So the pressure internalizes for the home team because no one wants to go back to the 305. That's Spoelstra's message. We don't want to go back. We want to get it back to the 305. And so the pressure's on the home teams to play well. This is going to require a lot of psychological coaching from the coaches, Spoelstra and the Vegas Knight coach, because you've got to be able to let them play in a relaxed mentality, that you can't have that trophy or in front of them and say, if we got to win this, we got to win this. It's got to be just taken one step at a time. That's why Michael Malone came out very emphatically about, we haven't done anything yet. We've got to go back and play our game. I think that's really important. It's a message that is trying to diffuse all the pressure that's on these home teams.
No question about it. And you look at this Golden Knights team too, they're a big favorite in this spot. They opened minus 145 on the money line, now already overnight up to minus 165. So people thinking at least that it's not going to get the better of them. It's not going to be too overwhelming to be put in that spot at home. But it's a cliche for a reason, Michael. The fourth win is always the hardest one to get.
Yep.
Historically, though, I will say in the Golden Knights' favor, just in terms of the series, because they are now, what, a 1-12 favorite sitting here in Florida. If you think that they can get back in this 8-1, not nearly enough for me to buy in on. But historically, the only team to come back in NHL history from a 3-1 deficit in a best of 7 in the Cup Final, the 1942 Toronto Maple Leafs, reminds me of the old lady from the Titanic. That gif of, yeah, it's been 84 years. Well, it's been 80 years. That's what I think of since something like this has happened. So it's going to be an uphill battle for Florida if they think they can get back in it. But I just have this feeling Mark Stone's going to be lifting that cup above his head at T-Mobile.
You know, it's really remarkable. 5 years that this franchise has been in play and the talent. And look, we know this about watching these two series, hockey and basketball, that Denver's the more talented team, and Denver has to not play well to win. It's the same thing with the Vegas Knights. I think the Vegas Knights are really a potential 30-for-30 documentary about what it takes to build a great organization, and I'm going to do some work on that because, to me, 5 years an expansion team, you've got to have really good scouts. You know, everybody talks about, we got draft picks. Well, it takes talent to evaluate talent. You make the, you know, just look at the process. If you blow the draft picks, what good is the process? You know, it's on paper, it looks good, but if you pick Jalen Okliffer and if you pick Michael Carter Williams or you don't hit those picks, what are they? They're worthless. And I think the Vegas Knights are proof to that. And that I think that sometimes we get caught up in these analytical world of, well, this is the right guy. You know, we'll talk about Dalvin Cook. It's all analytics why they need to cut him, right? He's not the same player he once was. Well, okay. Let's see how they work out without him on the team. And I think ultimately you got to give the Vegas Knights 5 years. I mean, here I am in Philadelphia. Keith Jones was on TV last night. We were all talking about it around the table. I mean, you know, where the Flyers used to be one of the valued franchise. They were more popular in Philadelphia than the 76ers. And now they can't seem to get it back. And the Vegas Knights, 5 years, they have it all.
Yeah, it's been really special what George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon and Bill Foley, that whole crew, have done to develop the Golden Knights in such a short time and finding the right pieces in free agency, getting the big fish that also blends with the core players that they've had from year one, those original six, those original misfits making a difference here in this series as well. Also yesterday, though, Michael, the Belmont Stakes, the 155th running of the Belmont. Arcangelo wins, cash in 8-1, 7-1 tickets. Forte, the favorite, comes in second. Tapid Trice in third. And trainer Jenna Antonucci becomes the first female trainer to win a Triple Crown race. Pretty awesome yesterday.
Yeah, it's awesome for her. That was an incredible. And the walk down memory lane about Secretariat's 50 years was tremendous, too. And what history, you know, the first female trainer to come through there. It's a great race, you know. When you were watching that, it was really kind of one of those where I wasn't sure about the pace, and then Arcangel comes through, and the favorite, you know, just by a nose got second place. So I know Mike Somich and Thomas Gable, they gave out some good picks. Unfortunately, they didn't have Arcangel in their top.
Yeah, so close. It's one of those things. I remember last year we were going through a similar thing with Epicenter, like always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Yeah. So close, but couldn't get there. I thought Forte might be able to make a push there on that final stretch, but Arcangelo, what a tough name to say, just keeps on pulling it out there late. And again, just about the first female trainer, I thought that was really, really cool because, like, in society, it's 2023. We think we're so far beyond some of these firsts, but every time there's a first for a woman or a different somebody of a different diverse background comes and does something, it just means there's fewer firsts in the future, and that this that things are really coming together. So awesome to see. Congratulations to her and Arcangelo. We've got to step aside though, Michael. When we come back, you weren't here on Thursday. We couldn't get our usual No Way No Doubt in, so we are doing it here on a Sunday. Stay with us on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. You want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. You can check out those betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. And I'm really disappointed in myself, Michael. I buried the lead this morning because who's got it better than you? Nobody. The way you were watching the game last night, the outdoor setup, you had the TV up, grilling the tomahawk steaks, like the amount of jealousy that was just oozing out of my pores. You have no idea.
Well, we're fortunate. Bill Berman, you know, he allows us to kind of use that. So it's wonderful. Yeah, it works out really good. Look at that. Yeah. We actually went with the Weber last night, which was a little change of pace on that. So we had to do that. And it's good. You know, this is a wonderful time of the year to be outside and enjoy, watch a game, you know, listen to a little bit of music and watch people walk by and have fun. I mean, summertime in New Jersey is pretty good.
Rough life you're living out there, my friend. No, it looked awesome, especially.
I admit I'm humbled by it. I'm very fortunate. I am blessed. I have truly am blessed. And you learn that when you have the grandchildren, you realize how fortunate you are in life, and they bring out the joy in all of us. So it's wonderful. Aww.
I was especially jealous, I think, because when I went out on Thursday, I didn't end up going to Stadium Swim. I watched the game at a bar with our old producer, Steph, who we know and love.
That's why you lost.
And we lost. So I said, Stormy, you got to go back to Old Faithful, left side of the couch at home by yourself, nobody else. And then you're out there grilling it up with the family. I'm like, all right, I'm eating a lean cuisine and a delivered crumble cookie. That's my life on a Sunday. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're welcome anytime. I mean, you know, Bill will invite you anytime to come back. So
I got to get out there. I've never been to Jersey, so I am willing to trip for the Tomahawk Steaks.
I mean, that's right. You're always in this. You were always in Washington, it seemed like. We're not that far.
Yep. I just got to make the drive down. Okay, so Michael, since you weren't on the show with us Thursday, you're doing some great stuff for the book Football Done Right, coming to a bookstore near you soon. But because we didn't have you here, we missed out on the Michael Lombardi edition of No Way or No Doubt. So let's run that open and get it going.
Disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, getting into some news and notes, various sports. Which of these headlines we think is a no-doubter, absolutely going to happen, or not a shot in HE double hockey stick? Starting with DeAndre Hopkins. He's making his first free agent visit to Tennessee today. The Patriots reportedly on the list next as well. But here's the setup for you, Michael. DeAndre Hopkins will be a Pro Bowl wide receiver in 2023, regardless of where he plays. No way or no doubt.
No way. I mean, look, he's a good receiver. There's no question. However, there's a lot of good receivers, and I think ultimately he isn't going to be able to beat out some of the guys in the NFC to get to that Pro Bowl. Now, look, Pro Bowl is a nebulous thing, right? I mean, let's not forget Tyler Huntley was the Pro Bowl quarterback for the NFC. Let's not forget Derek Carr was the Pro Bowl quarterback at the AFC. So when we use the term Pro Bowl, which back in the 50s and 60s in the book I wrote about Football Done Right meant something. Today it doesn't really mean anything, but will he be, will he be a top three receiver in the NFC or the AFC? I don't see it. But he's still a good player. That doesn't dilute his impact on the team. So I say no way. Now, the best thing about no way, no doubt, Stormy, is I get to ask you questions. I get to reverse the role.
Okay.
So my question to you would be, no way or no doubt, Miss Stormy, both the Denver Nuggets and the Vegas Golden Knights have an opportunity to win a championship in front of their home crowd in Game 5. Why we're playing Monday night, only Will Hill knows. But do you think both teams will be able to close it out in front of their home crowd?
No doubt. I do. I really, really do. I think it's a wrap. A chicken
both?
Caesar wrap. They are done. Yes, Michael. I got the Nuggets closing it out tomorrow. Vegas is going to do it at home on Tuesday. You mentioned it in the opening block, kind of the parallels between these two series. And it really does, to me, feel like it's the better team. They're at home. They've gotten to the point where they've started to pull away, and now all they got to do is get this fourth and final win, close things out. The Nuggets just feel like, even in Game 3, when it seemed like maybe they could open the door and give the Heat an opportunity to claw back in there, they didn't do it. They put the hammer down. Same thing with Vegas last night. They were able to close the door. Even when Alex Pietrangelo gets that penalty with 17 seconds to go, Aiden Hill steps up. Defensively, Braden McNabb's not letting anything happen. They're just a little bit better, both the Nuggets and Vegas, just a little bit better in just about everything. And I don't anticipate the Heat shooting over 50% on Monday, and I don't anticipate the Florida Panthers having some incredible offensive output. So it's done.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think what we lose sight of, because we have the tournament, the NCAA tournament, and we see upsets, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a one-game event. And that isn't an indication of who the better team is. That's just who's the better team on that day. Yep. A seven-game series, typically the best team will always win, unless, you know, what happened to Boston in Game 7 where they just, you know, couldn't make a shot. But typically that's what happens, and I think we're seeing that in both series.
I agree with you. Let's keep it rolling here. While it might be a rough time in Florida between the Miami Heat and Florida Panthers going down, there's some positive things going on. Lionel Messi come into town, potentially Dalvin Cook. Speaking of Dalvin Cook, this will be our next no way, no doubt. The former Vikings running back has hit 1,000 yards in each of the last four seasons on the ground. No way or no doubt, Dalvin Cook will eclipse 1,000 again this year with his next team.
Well, you know, this 1,000-yard mark is a little bit predated. Remember, this was a 14-game number that we used to verify. Then we became 16. Now we're at 17. So, you know, 14 games, you get 1,000 yards, you're almost getting 100 yards a game. Cook has carried the ball. He carried it 269 times last year. Will the place he go to get him 269 carries? If he goes to Miami, there's no way he gets 1,000 yards because Miami finished 31st in the league last year in rushing attempts. So if he goes there, they're not going to run the ball enough to make him really allow himself to get the 70 yards he's going to need over 17 games to eclipse that 1,000 yards. So I say no way on that. Now, if he were to go to Dallas, no doubt he gets 1,000 yards. If he goes to another team, if he went to Washington, he'd get 1,000 yards. But I think if he goes to Miami, no way.
Okay, so depends on the location for Dalvin Cook to get over that mark. Let's keep it rolling. Albert Breer has reported over the last week or so that the league's latest probe into sports betting could implicate a, quote, healthy number of guys across the league. Not good news. No way or no doubt. Sports betting violations are going to get worse before they get better here in the NFL.
Well, I do no doubt they're going to get worse, because at some point we have to educate the players. And you can see in the NFL there is a void of education, because players are doing this and they know it could ruin their career. I mean, Brady made it very clear in that rookie symposium he was there that you understand that you can't do this. This jeopardizes your career. You know, when Paul Hornung did it and got suspended, you know, that was it. Betting wasn't legal in the 60s. So that was, he really stepped across the line. Now it is. So there is, and you're not allowed to bet in the facility or on football games, NFL games, or your team. But if you want to bet on soccer, if you want to bet on the Vegas Knights, just do it out of your house and do it here. Understand the rules and protocol. But I think it's going to take one more avalanche of players losing years and games for this to really settle in.
Yeah, and with this being so new for so many players, having the opportunity and just not having dialed in understanding of the rules yet, the league needs to make an example of some of these folks, just because integrity of the game is their highest priority. They don't want anything to be questioned. So yes, I agree. It's going to get worse before it gets better, but then I think we'll have a clear path forward and understanding. One more we're going to get into. Debo Samuel did not mince words when it came to evaluating his 2022 season, called it awful. You remember this time last year, he was in a contract dispute with the 49ers, scrubbed his social media, requested a trade, the whole bit. And said that had an impact on his season. So no way or no doubt, just in general, off-season contract negotiations do have a negative effect on in-season performance.
No doubt. You know, you lose focus, right? You know, there's a sense of hunger when you have something to prove. And that hunger translates itself into your off-season work habits. And that manifests itself into having a great year. People just think, you know, the offseason doesn't matter. No, it really does. You need to get yourself in great shape. You need to have a great offseason to then allow yourself to stay healthy. Because what I think what people miss a little bit is we are in this load management world today. And so when you have load management and all of a sudden you're getting, you're more prone to injuries. And I think Debo would say that's true. I think you have to work hard and understand the offseason is as critical to the season as anything. There's no doubt those contracts, those distractions affect players.
Makes you wonder, the Quinnen Williams, the big name that stands out to me right now, still trying to get his deal done, if that might.
Or Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley with the Giants. I mean, there's another one. You know, Tony Pollard signed his, so he's in camp, but I think that really is.
Yep, good to keep in mind for some of those players. When we return on the Lombardi Line, former NFL head coach and coordinator Chuck Pagano is going to stop by, get his insight on some of these big offseason storylines.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a smarter sports bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription today. For a limited time, if you sign up, come join us for just $9.99. You'll get full access to everything we do here at VSiN, including daily pro picks on all the summer action. That means NFL and college football futures as well. Premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Don't miss out. This is our lowest intro price of the year. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you sign up. Make sure you do it today. Rolling along here on the Lombardi Line, live from downtown Las Vegas, continuing some of our NFL talk as we welcome into the show Chuck Pagano, former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, longtime defensive coordinator, certainly known for that style of football, such an incredible defensive mind, and live a little bit of a different life in retirement out in Boise. I am very jealous, by the way. Welcome in, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How is retirement treating you, by the way?
Awesome. Like you mentioned, in Boise full-time. I've got my three daughters, three granddaughters, grandson here. Life's good. Playing a lot of golf when the weather cooperates. And so nothing, no complaints here.
Oh, yeah. You get to play that golf. I'm sure you wake up in the middle of the night wondering if Al Davis is going to yell at you for not having the free safety in the middle of the field. But I know you do a lot of studying on the NFL. I wake up, Chuck, in the middle of the night wondering if what I did wrong that day, he's going to call me. You know, I still get those shivers. Oh. But let's talk about your former team, the Colts. You know, Anthony Richardson, to me, great talent, not a great quarterback yet. What do you see from them and talking to people within the organization on how he's developing?
Yeah, talking to Shane, I ran into Shane a few weeks ago at a deal out in California, a little get-together for Norv. You know, they're really excited about this kid, and obviously the skill set that Anthony has, the measurables, all that stuff. It's just a experience thing and time on task, but they're going to throw him in there. What he did with Jalen Hurts, I don't see this being any different with Anthony Richardson. They've got a good offensive line. Those guys need to play better. They've got weapons around them, got two big tight ends, you know, Pierce and Pittman on the outside. They picked up McKenzie, I think, from Buffalo, Jonathan Taylor. So, they're super excited about this kid and what he can do. It's not going to be perfect. Gus will do a great job on the defensive side. They'll play great defense. Special teams, you know, they lost Bubba Ventrone over there, who was a great special teams coordinator, went to Cleveland, bringing a guy, I think, from Notre Dame. But so they'll play great team football. They'll manage the game well, but they're super excited about this kid's, you know, what his ceiling can be, and if they can get him to it, look out.
Certainly a player with really, really tremendous upside. Year one, though, for any rookie, never easy. We'll see what they can do. Total wins on the board sitting at 6.5 right now. The Jags are the favorite in that AFC South. Another, like, headline, I guess, for the Indianapolis Colts recently, though, not been in the best way. Corner Isaiah Rodgers dealing with the potential downfall of what happened with the sports betting investigation, and a lot of teams having to deal with this now. We saw the Lions, of course, Calvin Ridley suspended for an entire year last year. You know, if you're in an NFL locker room today, what are these conversations like with your players to understand your career could be on the line for something that's really unimportant in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, it's Stormy. It's continuing education. You know, the league sends a group of people over to your facility every spring this time of the year, and they go through the, you know, the gambling policy with the coaches and players, and you can't do it. And to risk, you know, your longevity, the salary that you're going to, it's just crazy. So you continue to educate these guys, and you can't ever assume that everybody understands and knows all the nuances of what's going on. I mean, it's so easy and so accessible now to bet on games and the gambling and the apps and the way they're tracking you and all these kind of things. You just can't do it. And it's just wild to me, but you got to educate, you got to have these conversations. And to me, it's like, we always tried to get the gray out of football, right? The gray area out of coverages and the communication things, and make it as simple as possible. So to me, it's like, okay, you can bet on this, but you can't bet on that. So it's just got to be like, guys, you're rolling the dice. You just can't do it. So why even risk it?
Yeah, I agree, Chuck. I mean, you know, to me, again, it comes down to education all the way. And I think you got to stay on them. You know, from coaching as long as you have, you know, players don't always retain, that you got to keep educating them on a daily basis. Your background, obviously head coach of the Colts, great defensive coordinator. Talk to me a little bit about what Vic Fangio will bring to this Miami defense, knowing that he's got Jalen Ramsey on one side, to really kind of roll the coverage away from Ramsey and let Ramsey live on an island.
Yeah, that was a great get, you know, for the Dolphins. They won the Fangio sweepstakes, if you will. I know everybody, you know, was buying for, you know, Vic to be their defensive coordinator, but following Vic at Chicago, we all know what, you know, they were number one in a ton of categories, but he'll do a great job there. And you mentioned, you know, picking up Ramsey. Yeah, you can, you know, somebody's going to have a great wide receiver, you know, they're number one. And if you can, you know, roll the coverage to that guy, we used to, you know, it's a quarter, half principle. You roll up, jam, reroute, have safety help over the top of that guy, and then you've got a guy like Jalen Ramsey, you know, on the other side, and just say, hey, basically, okay, you're kind of on your own. You've got this other dude, you know, all by yourself. If they got two wide receivers, then great. You got one guy like Ramsey who can, you know, play man-to-man and take care of one side of the field and then roll the coverage. It isn't just going to – he loves the split safety stuff, Michael. As you know, you've studied him over the years. He does a great job. You know, Pat, they got Chubb, they got Jalen Phillips, you know, Christian Wilkins inside. I think they picked up the inside linebacker, you know, Long from Tennessee, I believe it is. So yep. You should see marked improvement, you know, from the Miami defense and what Vic will do there. He's just – and it's a lot. He does a lot. So, you know, this offseason for them has been big as far as, you know, him installing his defensive package and how they do things.
Is there another coordinator that stands out to you that you really think could make an impact this year? And maybe just in general, what the difference can be when you bring in an experienced coordinator into a place that needs it?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's big. I think it's huge. But I'm really excited to see what Steve Wilks does, you know, up in San Francisco. You know, he's been a defensive guy on that side of the ball his entire career. The job that he did in Carolina last year, taking over as the interim. But, you know, following D'Amico there, no easy task. We know they've got a great defense, picked up, you know, Javon Hargrave in the offseason, free agent from Philly. But I'm excited to see what he does and how much they retain. The big thing to me, Stormy, is always, okay, how much change are you going to do? Because going to Chicago and following Vic, you know, for me to go in there and not, because we had used similar coverages, and it's usually a terminology thing that's the big difference. But you got all these great players. They just coming off a great season statistically, all that kind of thing. So, you know, to see what these guys go in and how much they're going to change, certainly you want to put your, you know, your footprint, your fingerprints on the defense. But as much carryover, to me it was like, okay, look, I'm gonna learn, and I'm going to take it off the players and try to – learn the terminology myself, what was used, and used a lot of what Vic did, you know, in Chicago. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what you know, like Steve Wilks does in San Francisco and the success. They've got great players all over the place, so they should be okay, obviously.
Yeah, I agree, Chuck. I think what D'Amico did when he took over for Saleh, he kind of advanced that defense. They just weren't a Seattle 3 team. You know, they were more willing to do different things, and they weren't as generic. And it's going to be interesting what Wilks does, because he's not a Seattle 3 guy. So I do think that's going to be a key component of where they are. How about in Philadelphia? Would they lose Gannon and they lose Shane Steichen? How much do you think that will affect their team this season?
It's gotta be some, right? Because yep. I don't know if, like, Brian Johnson, I think Brian Johnson is the new, you know, the OC, and, you know, whether he's actually going to call it or is Nick, you know, going to call it, you know. And then defensively, I mean, anytime you lose guys, you know, to head coaching jobs, like you mentioned, you know, there's going to be something there. And I think the positive thing, you know, Howie did an unbelievable job, right? When you think their whole team's going to be dismantled, right, fall apart, and Slay's going to be gone, Bradbury's gone, this guy, that guy. I mean, they lose one guy. They sign all those guys back. So they still got those veteran, you know, all the veteran leadership in the locker room, which is going to be key. But then, as we know, Vic was doing, you know, stuff with them. But Desai coming in there, he'll be able to keep a lot of the same principles. But there'll be some growing pains there, I think.
We're up against it, Chuck. But thank you so much for doing
this.
We appreciate you.
Appreciate you so much, Chuck. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for having me. Miss you, Michael. Take care, bud.
Aww. Thank you, Chuck. Bye-bye.
Great stuff from Chuck Pagano. And he's been so fun to watch on the Pat McAfee show as well. Let's further that coordinator conversation.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. If all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. Only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to please play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up only to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. See, that's cool, because even when you're a loser, you're a winner with BetMGM. That's a good promotion. Well, I mean, how many times have you done a parlay and you're so close and it's one leg that gets you? And it's usually the leg that you thought was the lock. That's what makes it most frustrating, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I don't do those, but I could understand your pain. I get that completely. Yeah, I understand.
It's my life. The struggle is real, Michael. Had a great conversation, though, a few minutes ago with Chuck Pagano, and we kind of ended it talking about coordinators in new spots and the influence that a coordinator can have, changing, putting his stamp on things. I think there's a few different folds of this, though, too, right? Like helping like we talk about developing head coaches. Those are kind of the stepping stones to get to that next point, changing the look of a team. What are some things that you really find valuable when a new coordinator is coming in?
Well, I think there's a sense of diversity, right? So we were just talking about, you know, Robert Saleh was there in San Francisco. He gets the Jet job. They promote D'Amico Ryans. Now, Saleh comes from the Seattle cover three scheme. This is the same scheme Gus Bradley runs, similar to what Dan Quinn does, but Dan Quinn kind of has diversified his portfolio. So when that scheme was going, the front determines it. But D'Amico came in and kind of changed some things, and he was a little bit more unpredictable. Now as we morph into Steve Wilks, who's really never been in that scheme before, he'll add some other variables, some other layers, making that a little bit more of a challenge for opponents as they come and play the 49ers. So, you know, coordinators really make a huge difference. And when you get the right one and the talent blends itself together, I look back to 2006 when the New York Football Giants were an 8-8 team. They made the wild card, but they weren't good on defense. And then Steve Spagnuolo left the Philadelphia Eagles and went north and took his first coordinator job in 2007. That's the year they win the Super Bowl. And so that change, that variance, really can kind of reinvigorate a team. As for Philadelphia, you know, that they're going to step into a huge challenge because they're going to have to see, you know, how they offensively, more than anything, is what was Steichen's true role and how much will Nick Sirianni take over the offense.
And there are a lot of different situations for coordinators. Like you talk about the Steve Wilks situation with San Francisco, and I like the way Chuck talked about his past. You want to put your fingerprints on something, but also, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing. So Wilks is going to come in there and, like you said, kind of put in his own wrinkles. But there are other teams that you need a complete overhaul, essentially, because they've been so bad and they need to turn things around. Who's the biggest overhaul job, you think, in 2023?
Well, I think, you know, obviously New England's going to have Bill O'Brien
that's
there.
That's fair. You go from a defensive coach to that.
Yeah, Brian Flores, I think, in Minnesota, and he's losing players, too. Brian's in a tough job. I mean, they're talking about trading Danielle Hunter. You know, they're in a little bit of a cap situation. Probably one of the biggest ones is Eric Bieniemy, because Bieniemy's really technically never run it himself. He's always had the ability of Andy Reid there. Not that he can't do it. He just has never really done it alone as he stands there. I think Jim Schwartz will have the impact. I think Vic Fangio will have a huge impact. I think those two guys will make their team better. And if you're betting the Browns on an over total or you're betting Miami on an over total, you're doing it based on the defenses of both those teams improving. Washington, to me, if Bieniemy is as talented as everybody believes he is in terms of he should be a head coach, he's interviewed for all these jobs and he's not getting head coaching jobs. If he's as talented and he can get Sam Howell to play at that level, they've got the skill positions around him covered. So I think this is really what it's all about. Now, understand, we have to separate. Schwartz, Fangio are different than Bieniemy because Bieniemy's never really had this job alone. Schwartz and Fangio have done it before many times. Same thing with Todd Monken in Baltimore. He's done it before. Nathaniel Hackett's done it before. So there's a difference between a first-time coordinator. Like, let's take the Arizona Cardinals, right? They have a first-time head coach and two first-time coordinators. Like, and they don't have a good team. So how is this all going to manifest itself, right? You know, Drew Petsick, he's a first-time offensive coordinator. Nick Pelos is a first-time defensive coordinator. So, and then Jonathan Gannon is a first-time head coach. That's a lot of inexperience on one staff with a team that's not very talented. Who is bringing wisdom and confidence to this organization when they start to go off track? And they will go off track because that's just human nature when you take over a bad team. That's one of the reasons you're betting the Cardinals on the under total, is because not only do the players have to grow into the role, so do the coaches.
Which is such a sad thought that their total is sitting at 4.5, and you're still like, are they gonna get there? They are the favorite, of course, to have the fewest wins in the NFL this season as well. A 10-1 shot to have an opportunity to make the playoffs. Crazy to think about. But to go back to what you said about Eric Bieniemy, it's exactly like he has had so much that has been credited to Andy Reid, essentially, right? Like, you're part of taking the Kansas City Chiefs to 2 Super Bowl wins, but you've had Patrick Mahomes in your back pocket. So that is like a big question mark I have for him, is Sam Howell or Jacoby Brissett, whoever it ends up ultimately being, because apparently both guys, they're being talked about the same in the room if you listen to Ron Rivera and what he has to say about it. But that's a very, very different job that you have in Washington than you've had with Kansas City. So that's going to be a great proving ground, I think, for Bieniemy if he is that guy.
Exactly. And great coaches, you know, understand what they have to do. I mean, Bieniemy has to look at his team and say, okay, I don't have Travis Kelce. I don't have Tyreek Hill. I don't have all the, here's what I have to do to make this work. And they're going to change from offense. They're going to change from the Scott Turner system, which is more Norv Turner system, which is numerical, into a verbiage system. And one thing about, this is not to minimize Eric Bieniemy, but one thing, when you have Andy Reid as your play caller and as your play designer, as the head coach, and Andy is involved in all those things. Mm-hmm. He is involved. I mean, Mike Kafka left the Kansas City Chiefs to coordinate the New York Giants because he wanted the opportunity to do it. Andy's always going to do it. Now, and he had success with Daniel Jones, made Daniel Jones improved. Even though he averaged 6.9 yards per attempt, he still was a better player, cut down his turnovers, 9 interceptions. That's what Bieniemy has to do, is figure out what's best for this team and how do I go forward with it.
One of the more interesting win totals on the board as well, sitting at 6.5. Hard to know what to do with that number. Nathaniel Hackett taking over as offensive coordinator for the Jets. Are there just some coaches, Michael, that are better as coordinators than coaches? Because it feels like that for Hackett.
I think so. I think it was too much for him. I mean, you could just see he was overwhelmed from game one. He was overwhelmed from not just when we got between the lines on Sunday. He was overwhelmed from the planning element. You know, the whole idea that he was going to take the Denver Broncos and use the Packer mythology. You know, one of the things I think has really been hard for coaches, and this isn't a knock on Nathaniel. This is just the industry that we work in. Nobody's really prepared to be a head coach unless you've gone through a tutelage program where you've watched a successful head coach operate and then put your own spin on it. It's a very challenging job. There's no one there to really help you in the organization. You know, everybody stay in your lane. Don't do this. But you've got to understand, as you're looking at the football team, how to get a team ready to play. We'll talk about Robert Saleh. He doesn't want to have mini camp. Okay, you want to rest your players, but you've got a lot of young players that need to be really good in November and December, and we need these days to help them. We may not need these days to help Aaron Rodgers, but we need those days to help them. So when you give the whole team off like that, what is your view? I'm sure a lot of coaches read that and said, oh my, this is not going to work. Because you got to have a visual for the entire team, and not a lot of people have been taught that. I mean, Saleh worked for Pete Carroll. He's worked for Kyle Shanahan. You would think he would understand a little bit of that, but in 2 years, he's won 2 AFC East games. That's it. And yet he feels his team is right there. I have doubts.
Well, that was one of the more interesting things about him canceling the mandatory minicamp this week, was that you have an offense that's integrating new verbiage and all of, and I get that you have Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard and some of these guys who can help shuffle that along a little bit quicker, but still, it just seems like a week that you're going to want to get your offense in the right place. That's why, Michael, we didn't even include that in No Way, No Doubt today, because I already knew what your answer would be about if minicamp, if you thought that was a good decision or not.
Well, I think it's a, you know, it's a good decision because you don't want to overwork Aaron Rodgers. It's a good decision because Dwayne Brown's an older player and you don't want to overwork him. But Mekhi Becton, you got to work him. You know, you've got to work some of these guys. It takes work. You know, I mean, what would Kobe Bryant have said if he just wanted – he's going to work. He wanted to work. He needed to improve his craft. This whole, well, we have to rest. Look, none of these guys are playing in the Hall of Fame game anyway. It was a kind of a joke that he referenced that we have to go to camp early because of the Hall of Fame. Of course, that's a joke.
I can't wait for Robert Saleh to step into Michael Lombardi's office tomorrow. We got to take a break.
You don't want to hear that. We'll be right back.